make your way on in. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. Some are still coming in here live in person. For those of you watching online, we're so glad that you're with us today. It'll be a little bit different today, something special. We have guests from Olivet Nazarene University who will be ministering to us. We have Gemma, who will be leading us in worship today, and Emily, who will be bringing the message. I'm excited about that, and I hope you are too. Let's encourage these young people from Olivet. They bring us greetings, and they're sharing their gifts with us today. So as we begin today, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, before I pray this morning, I want to just bring you up to date. Again, we're so thankful for everyone's sacrificial giving during the month of October. We did finally go over the top at the beginning of November, and now our HVAC unit is sitting atop our church building. So let's give the Lord a hand this morning. It took us a while, but we made it just in time for the first cold Sunday. Things are nice and warm, so we're grateful for that. Of course, now we have to continue to be faithful and sacrificial in our giving. The expenses keep coming. The bills will go up now that the heat is running more. We have our insurance payment due, etc. So please keep putting God first financially. As you'll note on the screen there, you have several ways to give. You can give online at fairmeadowchurch.org. Click Give Today. You can click on Donate on our Facebook page. You can mail it in. You can bring it in. For those of you who are here in person, you can give at the back as you go today. And we appreciate your stewardship. All right, so as we pray, let's pray for our world. Let's pray for those who are sick. Continue to pray for Joy Rickle. She's still in a lot of pain. She's making progress, but just wears her out to try to get out of the house at all. So please pray for Joy's continued recovery from the pinched nerve that she has. And then pray also for Linda Winandy's daughter. I'm drawing a blank on her first name. I apologize. Katie. Katie has heart problems, which is always scary for a young person. She is having medication that's keeping it under control now, but she'll have a cardiac ablation coming up early in December. So please remember to pray for Katie. All right, so let's go to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love. You saw our need, and you sent Jesus into the world. He showed us your love. He declared your truth with a clarity never heard before. Everyone noticed. Everyone was moved and transformed by his presence and by his message. And Father, we want to stand in that company. Those who are affected now because Jesus died, rose from the grave, and ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit came and fell. And now our lives can be changed, and we can be filled with the Spirit, and we can live lives worthy of our calling to be the followers of Jesus. And so we're grateful that all of that is possible. And that's why we've gathered on this first day of the week, as Christians have done for so long, to lift up your name, to declare ancient words, to hear from the scriptures together, to sing songs of praise, to lift up prayers, to give offerings, and to respond with our whole lives to you. And so we offer ourselves to you in worship today. Bless those who will be leading us. Calm their nerves and use them to your glory today. We're excited to see all that you're going to do in this special service. And Father, help us to be your faithful followers. Now bless those who are in need of your physical touch. Be with Joy, be with Katie, be with all who need your physical healing today. We're grateful for your power, and we're grateful for science and medicine that can also help us. With that in mind, be with our world as we're still battling this virus. We need all the insight and wisdom we can get. Help us, Lord, to be long-suffering and continuing to do the things we need to do to prevent this virus from spreading. But give us healing and give us hope in Jesus. And Father, help us to be a blessing to our world. Be with our leaders of our country as they're making decisions that are so important and will impact us all for generations to come. Please give them wisdom and let your will be done on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, I pray that we as your church will have our focus on you, that as we're living each day, we'll see each person as someone who needs Jesus, someone who stands in need of prayer, someone we can encourage and lift up. And help us, Lord, to do all that we can to spread your love. Prepare us for that exactly today as we gather and worship. May everything that happens be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's sing songs of worship.
All right, hello everyone. Firstly, I want to say thank you so much for allowing us to come here and serve you. It is such a blessing to do so. My name is Gemma Newby. I'm a sophomore at Olivet, and I'm studying music ministry. So if you're able, please stand, and we're going to be singing How Great Thou Art.
Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Well, good morning, church. How are we doing today? Good. So my name is Emily Painter. I am a junior at Olivet Nazarene University, and I am studying children's ministry and youth ministry. So needless to say, I have so much energy at all times. I actually have a professor at Olivet who, instead of calling me, like, you know, Miss Painter or Emily, anything, like, close to my name, he will go, "Yes, Tigger from Winnie the Pooh." I'm like, rude. I'm like, what? So that's a little bit about me. But can I just pray over us before we get started today, church? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are, the goodness of your word, and the goodness of your presence every day. Lord, we know that sometimes we have these situations in our lives that are heavy and confusing. But Lord, I just pray that we just give that to you, that you reach your hand out, and that we remember that your hand is already extended towards us, and we just have to take it. Lord, your love is abundant, and it's always there for us. And so, Lord, I just pray over each and every single one of us that's in this room or that is joining us online, that we are able to just open our ears and our hearts to who you are and to the goodness of who you are, that we have the ability to look back on and just learn about. Lord, we love you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So something else about me, besides I have energy equivalent to Tigger, is that I love music. I actually play 7 different instruments, and only one of them I had a private lesson teacher for. So needless to say, I grew up in the music world very clearly. But something about music is I've got to figure out where my drive and passion was. Jazz band's pretty cool. Concert band I like to sleep in most of the time. It really just depends, but there was one thing that I just fell in love with, and that was marching band. And now marching band, it's a different trip. It's a totally different type of band. But there was something that we always did that, even though I no longer play in the marching band at Olivet just because of how busy I am, it always gets my attention. And so something that we do in marching band, I'm going to step back from the mic a little bit, something that we always do in marching band, and if you do it in front of any marching band kid, they will stare at you and probably give you the look if you do it, is if you clap 4 times. And so if you hear band 10 hut, every single one of our postures will intensify. Our feet go into what we call first position, and our attention is there. It's literally called the call of attention, call to attention. And something with the call of attention is most of the time, we never get the answer we need right away. So an example of this is when I was in marching band, we were having like a competition, and they called us to attention, and we're all just standing there for like 10 minutes, kind of getting tired, and they're like, you know, the bus is going to be here, you have to get your gauntlets, and you have to get your reeds, and all this stuff, and they listed off a bunch of stuff, and we're listening, because they have our attention, and then they said, hurry up, but the bus will be here in 3 hours, so be ready by then. I'm like, I have 3 hours, and you're telling me to hurry up? I'm going to take my time. But there was that call to attention, and there was that hurry up, and wait moment that just came. And even if you're not a marching band or you never wore, or if you're in the army, this phrase is intertwined throughout our lives. It's hurry up and wait. And sometimes we don't like that hurry up and wait moment. And so today, there is this perfect passage in Exodus 32. So going way back into the time of Moses. And a little bit about this passage before we get there is, you know, the story of Moses and the Israelites, they have already crossed the Red Sea. They have already received the Ten Commandments. And so this is when things start to get angry. And there's this hurry up and waiting moment that is coming. So Exodus 32 says this. When the people saw that Moses was long coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and they brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast and the shape of a calf, fashioned it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down and ate and drank and got up, indulged in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I've commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. Then they have bowed down to it and sacrificed it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster to your people. Remember your servants Abraham and Isaac and Israel, to whom you swore by yourself, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their and will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring his people to disaster as he had threatened. A lot of stuff is going on in that passage. Like, there's a lot and a lot of emotions. A lot. But see, if you listen, there's a hurry up and wait moment. When we see this text, it's not in full that they were turning away from God. It wasn't that the Israelites said, "Bye, God, I'm leaving you." That's not what's happening. It's not this intentionality to turn away. See, we have to remember that Moses at this time has been on Mount Sinai for like 40 days and 40 nights. And if you're following someone, if you are following them into an unknown path, and remember, they had to face this unknown with the enemies that were taking, chasing them from previous passages. There was an unknown that they were facing. They didn't know what was coming next. They didn't know, and they recognized their past, but there was still that great unknown. And so, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm going somewhere, and I'm, like, with a group of people, and, like, I'm following, like, my chaperone when I was in school, or, like, my leader or something, and they would, like, go missing, I would have a little bit of a panic going, what do I do? Where do I go? What's my next step? What happens if I end up somewhere I'm not supposed to? And then I get yelled at, and then I get in trouble, or something worse happens, and I come up with these what-ifs because I can't physically see my leader, or I can't physically see someone that has helped me in the hardest moments of my life. That was very true when I came to college. You know, I had my mentor who poured into me for about 4 years prior, and then I stepped into college, and now she's 3 hours away, and I'm like, what do I do now? Like, what do I do? And this is the mentality of the Israelites. Now what do we do? So Moses has went up, and he is talking to God. He's figuring out this plan. He's with this intentional space with God. And again, if I was the Israelites, I probably would have been freaking out at this moment as well, not knowing what to do. And they started to become impatient. Again, in my story about Marching Band, I had 3 hours to wait. That's not even close to 40 days or 40 nights. But I still had to wait and not hurry up, because that anticipation, that hurry up as they were running away from that enemy, and they hurry up and they're ready to go for the next step and fulfill the promise that God has promised them. And now they're like, but now you gotta wait. Now you have to wait into that unknown. There's this visible desire that is shown, right? They want to figure out what's next. They want to figure it out. And something that's really key in this passage is in verse 2 when it's talking about what Aaron is receiving. So we have the people, the Israelites, who are talking, but in verse 2 it says, Aaron answered them, "Take off your gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." There was no question. And then the people responded because someone stepped up, because they were looking for that leader. The people took off their earrings. There was no hesitation, brought up their earrings and brought them to Aaron. They needed something that they can physically see. See, in verse 4, it says this: "He took what they have handed them and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.'" And then later on, when Moses is talking, he made an altar. And we know that an altar is supposed to be this space where you connect with God. It's one of the most sacred moments. I know at Olivet, when we have revivals, and there's sometimes these moments where there's an altar call, so people come down to the front. And I have the privilege of being an RA as well, a resident assistant. And I remember being at the altar with one of my residents who's just losing it. Like, she is crying her eyes out. And at one point, I'm like, it's okay. But then at that moment, she's like, "I don't know what's wrong with me except for that God wants me at this altar." And I'm like, let's talk about it. And so you have these moments at the altar. And so it's important. And this is the moment that is recognized. And so Aaron built this altar. So it shows that importance. And he declares in verse 5 Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. Verse 6, so the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards they sat down to eat and drink. And in different versions and different translations, it says to play, to laugh. They were having this good time because visually they saw something that they could invest in, something that brought them comfort. Now today, we don't have golden calves. And if you do, I want to know how you made it exactly and how you had time to make that golden calf. But most of us in our lives don't have a physical golden calf like they wanted. But they didn't want a physical one. They wanted something to invest in. And so in our world today, yes, we don't have golden calves, physical ones. But we do have our intentions shift somewhere else besides God's promises. We have our attention. I know in college, it's getting straight A's sometimes. It's if you fit society's definition of if you are succeeding in life. I gotta say, I'm a junior in college and I'm starting to feel the pressure of why aren't you engaged yet? Why aren't you dating someone? What are you gonna do after college? You have to make this certain income. And we have these idols that we're starting to bow down to. Wealth, our jobs. It's these idols that because we can physically see them, because we can physically see the outcome right away, that's what we're going to invest in. The people knew God was there. The people knew that God had delivered them. The people didn't know. The people weren't absent-minded of knowing that God wasn't there. They knew God was there, but they needed something right away because in that hurry up and wait moment, they couldn't stand the waiting. They just wanted to rush through and never wait. And so as we continue on in our story, we see in verse 7 that it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down because your people, whom you have brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I have commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed it. And they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. There's this switch in God's tone. Definitely this switch. And as it continues in verse 9, I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Verse 10, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them, and then I will make you into a great nation. God's narrative has switched from what we've been seeing in the past. I reference Exodus 14 a lot, and Exodus 14 is the story of the Red Sea. Now, in Exodus 14, we see scriptures talking about how God has said, I will deliver my people. Remember, the Israelites were God's chosen people. I will deliver them, my chosen people, because he's bringing them out. He chose them. He intentionally chose them. And now there is a switch because our focus, the Israelites' focus, has switched from the promises that God has made and is making into what this world will give us in those hurry up and wait moments. We're waiting for that quick fix. Or we're looking for the idols that we can bow down to. Like Taylor Swift, she just released a new album, and I love it. But I'm not going to sit there and put that over my time with God. But that's really easy to do. There's this intentionality that just switched. And God at this point is mad. He doesn't want things to do with his people. Remember, I keep saying it, God's chosen people. God stepping back and saying, this, Moses, you did this. You brought him out of Egypt. There was a switch. It was no longer, I brought him out of Egypt because they're my chosen people. It was, Moses, these are your people. They don't want me. There was a switch. But here's the thing. God, remember, Moses was on Mount Sinai working on his plan with God. He was there. He was with them. He was working on this plan, and he was present. But the Israelites, again, were looking for that idol, that physical thing to represent. And at this point, Moses ends up saying something in verse 11. But Moses sought favor of the Lord his God. I'm going to pause there. Moses didn't go back down to the people right away and say, hey, buddy, you should not do that. He didn't seek favor. He didn't seek to find the people's recognition. He didn't seek to find the worldly possessions. His desire wasn't with the people. It was with God. Sometimes we seek validation within other people on this earth instead of walking towards God. Verse 11, but Moses sought favor in the Lord, his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains, to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn up from fierce anger and relent, and do not bring disaster to your people. Verse 13. Remember your servants, Abraham and Isaac and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies, and I will give your descendants all this land. I promise them, and I will be their inheritance forever. There was this call to remember. Sometimes it's so easy for us in the hurry up and wait moments to forget what God has promised us because we're so angry sometimes with God. I know I've been there. There's been moments where I was at the lowest point of my life, and my aunt Emma, she practically helped raise me because of my family dynamic. And you know, being away from college, sometimes you just need a good old Aunt Emma talk to tell you that you're doing good, that you're doing well, that, you know, sometimes things are hard, but you can push through it. And there was I remember just needing her the most in my moments at school. And then it was kind of an interesting thing where I was like, I just really need to call Aunt Emma. And my mom calls me and she's like, your Aunt Emma has died of cancer. And it was in those moments that I was like, are you kidding me, God? I was mad. And I was angry. And so sometimes in our hurry up and wait moments, we have these different emotions of sadness or of anger, and we have those what ifs, and we have these questionings. But there's also this intentionality to remember. This intentionality to remember the promises that God has done or is going to do, the works that God has already put through. Did you notice the switch in Moses' language? He didn't say, the people who I brought out of Egypt. It's not my people. Again, he says, why should your anger burn against the people whom you have brought out of Egypt with your power and your mighty hand? Remember your servants of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self. He is intentionally remembering. And sometimes we have to intentionally remember the promises that God has made for us and the works that God is doing for us and the promises sometimes that we have made for ourselves. When it comes to God, whether that's the promise of, you know what, God, I promise to myself, but also to you, that I'm going to spend more time in my devotions, or I'm going to spend more time with you. The promises of giving up an addiction, or the promise of forgiveness. It's intentionally remembering. It's that call to attention, as I talked about earlier. It's this call to intention. And see, sometimes in those delay moments, in the moments that we're waiting, is when God is working the most. There are most impatient moments, the ones where we just want the end goal to come out, is the moments where God's like, I'm working on a plan. God was already working, and he continued to work. He wasn't done working when he brought him out of the Red Sea, out of Egypt. He wasn't done working. He continued to work, and God was, again, making this plan. God was already there. And it wasn't like, remember, Moses was down with Aaron, and then he saw this happen, and Moses ran up the mountain and told God. God knew already without Moses saying a word, because he was with his people. He was always with us. And so sometimes when we bow down to these idols, again, if you have a natural golden calf, that's pretty cool. Don't bow down to it, and I would love to see it. But our golden calves today are different. There are other people looking for society's view, our wealth, our jobs, the things that we think fill us the most, because that's what the Israelites wanted. They wanted that leader. They wanted something visible. But there's this intentionality to remember, because in verse 14 it says this: then the Lord relented. It did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened, but he relented because he was intentionally remembered of the promises. Intentionally remembered. It was all for the Lord. And Moses at this time had two reactions. He could have easily went down to Aaron and just screamed at him and appealed to the people, but he went to God first and foremost in his moments. See, here's the big thing I wanted to ask us, or I want to hit on too with this passage, because there's a lot of what ifs in this passage. There's a lot of why did they do that? Why would they bow down to a golden calf? Why would they make a false idol? But sometimes when we think that God is absent or present, that's the only thing that brings us comfort. And so when we are in the hurry up and wait moments, when everything seems to be going wrong in our lives, in the hurry up, will we wait for God's deliverance and peace? And I mean truly wait. Not the, I'm going to wait for an hour, God, and in that hour I'll pray for you once, I pray to you once, and then I'll like read like two verses from Matthew and then like wait another hour. No, truly wait. Spending that time with God. Truly wait. Will we truly wait on his plan? Because remember, he's making a plan already with Moses. He's making that plan of deliverance, of this outcome, to see the victory, to defeat enemies, and the singing, and the victorious sight that will come. But they had to make that plan first, and he was already intentionally making that because he was intentionally remembered. And so will we truly wait on his plan, not our plan, or will we look for something else that our minds can understand? See, the people couldn't understand why Moses was sitting up there for 40 days and 40 nights. They thought he abandoned him or that he died. But the making a golden calf, making something that their minds can understand and physically see, we can't always see God and we can't understand his plan. And sometimes we want God's answers right away, but we can't always get that and we don't always see that. And so our minds sometimes go, well, if I invest all my time in my job, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to deal with that. You know, if I fit society's view of what it means to be perfect, I'm not going to have that issue. And so that whatever I'm waiting for, like God's trying to fix or being with me, it doesn't really matter because I have this here. Our minds can understand those what ifs, the calves. They could visually see that golden calf to represent Moses, to represent the God that they couldn't see. So again, I ask us, in the hurry up and wait moments, will we be okay with truly waiting? Are we just going to bypass, and are we going to just go back? Will the unknown become okay because we know that God is intentionally remembering us and intentionally remembering his plan and intentionally remembering his promises and our promises? Will we be okay with stepping into the unknown because we know God is working on a plan for us? It's reminding our promises of ourselves. It's remembering the promises that God has made us, because I promise you, in the hurry up moments and wait in life, like when I was in band, I told you the waiting for 3 hours on a bus, it was really easy for me to focus on what I had to do then and there and not focus on the outcome. Not focus on, you know, the fact that I was just go, go, go. And I promise you, in that go, go, go moment, I definitely almost forgot my black socks and almost had to march in white socks. So that would have been awkward. But it's because I didn't take that time in the waiting to make sure that I had everything, because I was fixed on go, go, go. I just want to go get there. I just want to go do this. I want to do that. But it wasn't fulfilling the plan that someone has already given me. My band director told me from the beginning, make sure you have your gauntlets. Make sure you have extra reeds, because I was a clarinet player. Make sure you have your black socks. Make sure you have all the things you need. And I was like, yeah, I probably have it. I'm a senior in high school. I've done this for 4 years. But it was in that wait moment that I messed things up. And so again, I ask us one last time to have it fresh in our brains. Will the unknown be okay? Will we wait and know? Hurry up and wait moments, because we know that God is working on a plan for each and every single one of us, and because he intentionally remembers his call to intentionality. Let's pray. God, you are a God that intentionally remembers us. Even when we so easily feel like we can turn away, or so easily we want to run away and focus on something else, when we want to be somewhere else, when we want a quick fix for life's hurts, when we don't want to sit in the unknown because the unknown scares us, and the unknown is filled with questions and doubts and concerns, and we want something that makes sense in our minds because we don't know. And Lord, I just pray that you be with us in those moments, in that waiting moment. As we try to hurry up and figure things out, that you intervene, you go, hold on a second. And we just sit in your presence. That you intentionally remember us. And so I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that as we go out today, as situations come, as situations go, and as we have that idea of go, 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 and we just want life to just hurry up, and we just want the outcome, that you go, hey, I'm here for you. I'm working on a plan. I will deliver you. I will make a way out. I always have, and I always will. But you have to wait for my plan. You have to wait. And so, Lord, I just pray once again that you just be with each and every single one of us as we wrestle what that looks like for each and every single one of us, that we remember walking out of these doors, that you intentionally remember us, that you intentionally remember the plans. Even when we mess up and we try to make our own way out, when we try to make our own plans, Lord, that you intentionally remember and you're there for us. And Lord, we love you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So to wrap up, I'm going to lead us in Apostles' Creed, and if you will stand, if you're